Thank you, Linda, and thank you all for coming to this session. And at the end of the day, I realize, you know, it's not always possible to be as dynamic and as alert as you might have been at the start of the day. But I appreciate your hanging in there with us. The content that I'm going to share with you really has to do with three separate things. First, I want to talk about the context in which our amendment to declare healthcare a basic human right in New Mexico was taking place. Second would be the concept itself. What are we trying to do with this amendment? And then the third thing would be to explore the response we've received so far, both from supporters and from those who are aghast that we would try to do such a dirty communist thing as this. The first two presenters on the panel today really, I think, laid the groundwork for what I'm going to talk about, because they explained why it is important that we have healthcare established in our state constitution as a basic human right. I think it's important that every state have it in their constitution and that we have it in the country. A lot of people say, well, of course it's a basic human right. We all know that. Well, until it's spelled out, it ain't so. And unfortunately, it's proven to be extremely difficult to get it established in law. And we're certainly not the only state that's attempting this. There have been a number of efforts, usually spearheaded, as is the case in New Mexico, by Physicians for National Health Policy, to get this on the books. Because we constantly run into barriers until we do. And of course, the primary barrier is, well, what about the marketplace? Why don't we just leave it up to the marketplace? It's almost as if we had two models for healthcare. One is a basic right that everybody should have access to. The other one is, let's leave it up to the marketplace, and that invisible engine of economic prosperity will make sure that everybody's taken care of eventually. I'm not at all confident in the marketplace as a regulator of healthcare access. It simply hasn't proven out in my experience. And what it essentially does is it leaves it up to those who can pay to be able to get quality care, or at least some kind of care. If you can really pay, you can get quality care. And if you can't pay, you get no care. And that's the basic tension that we face when we introduce this legislation. I was just at the session I attended right before we came in here this afternoon, was the past president's presentation. A few of you were there, I think. I saw some of you in that same room. And the point there is that was made there by Dr. Murray, I thought was or maybe it was Dr. Fagan. After a while, I got him confused. But they made the point, why are we even worried about making citizenship a criterion for eligibility for the Affordable Care Act? I mean, these are people who live in our communities. These are people whose communicable diseases will be just as communicable whether they're citizens or not. These are people who need the care and whose children need the care. And why are we making these artificial barriers? Well, it's simply an extension of our basic unwillingness to accept health care as a basic human, not citizenship, but human right. We came up with the wording for our particular version of a constitutional amendment from a letter that the Roman Catholic Archbishop of Chicago a few years ago, he's now passed on, Joseph Cardinal Bernardin, put into words this particular wording. So we adopted it. We thought this would make it particularly acceptable because it was a statement of a view of who people are, of human beings, and of what society is that we thought really needed to be elaborated in our Constitution. And it's real simple. I'll just read it to you very quickly. It is proposed to amend Article 2 of the Constitution of New Mexico by adding a new section to read, "Healthcare is a fundamental right that is an essential safeguard of human life and dignity. The state shall ensure that every resident," we don't say citizen, we don't say documented or anything, we say every resident has the opportunity to realize this right by establishing a comprehensive system of quality health care accessible to each resident on an equitable basis, regardless of the ability to pay. If it were to pass, and I'll share with you its history, it would have to go before the voters. And that's the second piece of the context that I want to bring up. It furthers the debate, I think, around the very nature of healthcare in this country. And the Affordable Care Act, with its many failings, does move things forward a little bit. This, I think, would absolutely change the nature of the debate. It's no longer going to be who can we bring in, but why are we leaving anybody out? On what basis do you propose to leave anybody out if healthcare is a basic human right?
I got some here. Thanks.
So I think one of the real purposes behind this is to further the dialogue about the very nature of healthcare in our society and to try to move it from a discussion of how are we going to pay for the treatments that all those people are going to need to how are we going to make sure that the already established constitutional right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that's in the U.S. Constitution, can be attained, and that we don't create artificial barriers. And it's my belief, and I think we can, if we can get it through the legislature, the citizens of the state of New Mexico, and the citizens in many other states, if they could get it on the ballot there, would agree that this is an artificial barrier when you say, I'm sorry, you can't have health care, so you have to die. You can't have health care, so you have to lose your opportunity to work in a profession for which you've been trained and are prepared. I'm sorry, you can't have health care, and so you have to lose any kind of economic ability to sustain yourself and your family. Those are such basic fundamental rights that when we create any barrier other than ability to pay, we immediately say, you can't do that. You can't block somebody's right to life or liberty, or you can't enslave them. You can't take their life. We protect those three basic tenets all the way through, except when it comes to health care, and then we start backing up and say, well, but we can't afford it. One of the basic issues that we're trying to get is an end to viewing the marketplace as the model in which we view healthcare. And the arguments that have been put forward against us as we bring this issue up all stem from marketplace concerns. Well, what would happen if? How are you going to provide for? What's going to be the way that? And they're all based fundamentally in that view of the marketplace as the way we should be looking at it. The other thing is that it brings up the issue of what's the government's role in providing health care? And if it's not the marketplace, it's going to be the government. And to what extent would it be state government, local government, federal government? I think with the Affordable Care Act, we suddenly have a way to say that the vast majority of the expenses that would be brought about by this amendment, we now have a way to pay for it. The only real populations that aren't going to be covered are the undocumented workers who are in the country without immigration papers, the Native Americans who aren't covered because of their own decision to opt out, and then people who are supposed to be buying insurance but who for either because they even with the subsidies can't afford it, or they think they can't afford it, or they refuse to and would rather pay the penalty than the subsidy. So no, it's not 100%, but it's certainly going to, in New Mexico's case, take a state with 450,000 people without any kind of insurance coverage right now. One quarter of our population, the second highest total, only Texas. Thank God for Texas. It keeps us from being the worst in the country. We're now the second worst. And they're about to turn down Medicaid expansion. If there's anybody from Texas here, I apologize. It's just your governor that I think is the problem, not the people. The other thing that we think will happen if this amendment were to pass is that it would bring about a change in the way public health is viewed. at least in our budgeting processes in the state of New Mexico. Right now, it's the image that was brought up in that last workshop is still with me, but it's the dwarf twin to the very large diseased twin that is healthcare. And so all the money is going to healthcare. Very little trickles into public health. And I think if we were to say healthcare is a basic right, it starts changing the focus, because now all of a sudden we need a robust public health system to be able to really avoid having to deal with terrible treatment expenses far into the life history of a disease. We can deal with them, prevent them in the first place, and maybe deal with them much more effectively early on. So that's the context. That's the background in which we've brought up this amendment. And as I said, it was brought up by the Physicians for a National Health Policy. We introduced it 2 years ago, and we had the endorsement of about 50 different organizations in the state, several doctors' groups, the Primary Care Association, the Public Health Association, the Social Workers Association, the Nursing Association. We have lots and lots of support, lots of endorsement, and people came up to Santa Fe and testified. We got it through the first year. If it's a constitutional amendment, it has to go through the Rules Committee, and it then has to go through probably one other committee. And the first year it was Judiciary. This next year I would like to switch that. They did not prove to be terribly fond of this, but try to switch it off to Public Affairs. But because it's a constitutional amendment, it has to start in Rules. And so the first year we got it through Rules. Every Democrat, including a couple who bit their tongue and just, you know, weren't happy to vote for it, but they all voted for it. All the Republicans voted against it. Democrats have a majority on our committee. It zoomed through. Then we got to Judiciary. And in Judiciary, the issues were financial. It was all, we can't afford this. Well, that's really not Judiciary's role. The issue there is to deal with the constitutional issues, the legal issues. And to leave for finance or somebody else the issues of budget impact. Our argument was, this has no budget impact. This does not say the state will pay for every single hospital admission that goes on in the next year. It simply says this is a basic human right, and then it leaves it up to us to craft in the future a new healthcare delivery system and a new way of building up public health so that we don't have to rely on this old system as heavily. We didn't persuade them. The argument fell on deaf ears, and we had strong support from the Democrats on the committee, but two didn't, and they joined with the Republicans, and it died. This last year, we couldn't get it out of Rules. A couple of Democrats weren't there for the vote, and we tried to get them back in time to reconsider, and it didn't happen. We're going to try again this January. The effort, I think, is very important because it gets a dialogue going around the nature of healthcare. But beyond that, if we were to succeed in getting it out of the legislature, it then becomes a way to educate the public about the whole concept and the whole issue, and to change it from being, how can we ever afford something like that, to how can we ever afford not to do it? That we're spending so much money already ineffectually that this would be a way to truly change, transform that whole discussion. We've also had a kind of a patronizing attitude from fiscal conservatives. I mean, we've had a lot of support, a lot of really strong support from people who from the public health sector and from the provider sector. But we've had some vehement opposition from fiscal conservatives who are kind of patronizing. They say, well, we know you're well-intentioned, but we don't deal with that in any other area. But, you know, that attitude of, well, it's a good idea if we could only afford it, but we can't, so we won't even really consider it. We won't even let the voters decide about it. That's been a very difficult nut to crack. And if any of you have suggestions for how we might reframe it to get past that objection, I would really appreciate it. But mostly, then we've had the third reaction: support, patronizing, opposition, and then we've had horror from people who suddenly realize if this were to go through, my insurance stock becomes worthless. My I don't think that's necessarily the case, but that's their fear. Or who say, my God, you're going to turn this system upside down. We tried a little backstory here, and then I'll turn it over for questions and some discussion and hopefully some suggestions from you. A little backstory here. For years before I got in the legislature, I was part of a group that's been pushing hard for single payer in New Mexico. And we had our own version of single payer. It's called the Health Security Act. And we came up to Santa Fe year after year and never got particularly far in it, about as far as we're getting with this amendment. I believe that this amendment could pave the way for single payer in the state. Because when the fiscal conservatives start taking a look at, if this were to pass, then how are we going to provide for a comprehensive system of quality health care accessible to each resident on an equitable basis, regardless of ability to pay? That's a description of single payer. Now, we don't say that in here, but I do believe that ultimately that's going to have to be the state's decision, because you can't get there from where we are now without going down the highway of single payer. And even the Affordable Care Act gives us that option by 2017. They may move it up a little earlier, and I'm thinking that we're headed finally for some health reform that will make a difference in the lives of all people, and especially of those in New Mexico. So thank you very much for your interest in this topic.